Shining as the sun bright, shining as the sun. Now humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up, and he will lift you up.
Amen.
Church, say amen.
Amen.
You didn't give me that normal nod. I thought, man, you was just enjoying yourself. Yeah, good to be back in the house of God this morning.
Amen.
To have all of you present, especially those who may not be members of the Church of Christ, you are very honored guests of the audience, and we're grateful that God has blessed you to come among us. We are believers in the Bible, that the Bible is right, and we're trying to get to heaven. How many of you all want to go to heaven?
Amen.
Amen. That's why we come to this place every week. Are we trying to make heaven our home? And so you're visiting with us. We want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. Yeah. That's what we would love to have you to be a member of the Lord's church. For we believe, according to the scripture, that the saved are in the church. And there's only one church in the Bible that you ever read about, and it is the Church of Christ. On a sad note, Brother Ellison called me on this morning. He lost Sister Alma. Ellison passed on last night. Not sure if that made the announcements, but he did call me personally. And so I wanted to pass that on to the congregation. Let's pray for him and his family. At this time, funeral arrangements are pending, trying to shoot for next Saturday. So she was a great lady, and certainly we know he loved his mother, and
Amen.
We saw how he cared for her, so let's make sure that we rally behind him as well as others who've lost Amen. Loved ones among us. And then today is Fifth Sunday, so today will be our short services, the afternoon services, with, I think it started 2. Be more definite at the announcements, but two young student preachers I'm excited about having speak, Brother Robert Smith.
Amen.
You've seen him stand there in song lead last week, and he's in our ministerial class on Thursday night. Brother Kai Williams as well. You please come back this evening
Amen.
And support these young men.
Amen.
Amen. And then on a sad note, another sad note, that the officer that was killed, brutally murdered, it's tragic to see so many people dying from gunshots. I mean, just people just shooting people seem like just it don't matter anymore. We just got to be careful. He was a member of the church. That's what I just,
Amen.
D.C., Quincy, I don't know if we've confirmed that, but there are some services being held at the Church of Christ. So we're praying that he was in the Lord's church, and we don't have to worry about his salvation as much as we do. The tragedy of the situation. And so certainly upon hearing that, I text all the officers that work here and just told them, guys, pay attention to what's going on around you. This is my note of encouragement. I just want them to know we love them and we appreciate
Amen.
All of the police officers who
Amen.
Are in law enforcement, and you're doing your jobs. And it's certainly a dangerous time to be in that business, but also they have to do their jobs. When things like that happen, it's just almost like execution style. We live in a terrible world. We live in a world that is filled with tragedy and trouble and trauma. And certainly it can affect all of us in our lives. And, so that's why it's important that we be praying for all men. Amen. We pray for all men. We pray for all men. Let's just pray right now. Let's pray about it. Let's pray. Now pray with me as I pray, as I lead us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King, for the blood of the cross of Calvary. Lord, we just ask you to please hear our prayers as we pray together. We know that prayers of a righteous avail it much, and your eyes are over the righteous, and you turn your ears against them and do evil. So, Lord, we just come on behalf of the families who have lost loved ones, our own Brother Ellison and others here who have lost loved ones recently. and throughout the churches of Christ, and even the officer that we just found out was also a member of your kingdom. Pray for him, his family, and all those who are mourning the loss throughout the department of Harris County that we just know that touches home, because we have so many here among us in that line of duty and danger. And we just pray you will protect them and watch over them for us, Father. We appreciate you applying that law to us for our benefit. We pray that we will be respectful to that. Lord, we just pray for all of us as we live in a world where all kind of things are going on around us. It seems like people are just killing people just at any whim these days. We just know that you've told us through your word that we are to pray for all men as much as possible, that we live peaceably among as much as lied in us. So we ask you to comfort us and help us. Be with us now as we worship. We love you and thank you for all you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Looking at the man in the mirror. We've been looking at the study of the book of James, looking at the man in the mirror, that the one who can look at himself in the mirror and learn from God's word, which is the mirror, then that person can count it joy no matter what he or she is going through. We looked at the man who endured temptation. If he looked in the mirror, and the Bible says, blessed is the man who can endure temptation. And then we looked at the fact that there is a man that with no respect, much like Jesus Christ, the faith of our Lord was that of one who had not respect a person. And then we learned last Sunday night how we look in the mirror, we look at the fact that the man in the mirror who pleases God will be a man or woman who has control of their tongue.
Amen.
And now today, this morning, we look in the mirror at one who is able to submit to the will of God. Because God resisted proud people, and he give grace to those who are humble. And so the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 1, from whence
come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence?
And he asks this in the form of question, where are these wars and fightings come? Do they not come from even of your lust?
That war in
that
your
wars
members.
In your memory. He's not speaking of wars between countries. No, he's speaking of the spiritual war that's within us all, that we have a spiritual battle going on. That and James said the fight is within you and your body, between you and God. You know, you got to deal with this life, and you got to deal with those things that come into your mind. And James will first discuss the pollution of the human mind and heart that can be, that we're exposed to in this world as men and women living in a world where we will be tempted and tried on every side. The question is, where is these fightings among you? Where are they coming from? So the question I'm asking all of us, who in here is battling spiritually? You have a spiritual war going on within you. And you know that in this war, you're going to have to fight to win. All of us understand that life can send us trauma. Life can send us tragedy. Life can send us experiences that we've never had. But remember, the good and evil still exist. Good representing God and evil representing Satan himself. And so there is a war to do what's right and avoid the evil desires and temptations brought upon us by Satan himself. Verse number 2, the Bible said, James said, the problem is you lust.
And have not.
And you have not. And
you kill.
You kill. And you
desire
to have.
And
you cannot attain. You fight.
And war.
And war.
Yet
you
have not.
You don't have because.
Because you
ask not. Do you lust? Meaning wanting things in this life. And when you think of lust, a lot of times we think about the lust of the flesh. But the lust of desire, desires for that are personal achievements and things like that, where we will go above and beyond to get whatever we want. Amen. And he said, do you kill? Meaning, do you do what you have to do? Kill the spirit of others. Amen. Kill character. Kill whatever you got to do to get what you want. Do you desire to have what you cannot obtain? In other words, how God is asking us in the mirror, look at me, how far will you go to get what you want? To get your position that you want, to get your raise that you want, to get your degree or to get the promotion. Will you step down on folk? Will you demean character to get what you want? Will you scheme to get it? What are you lusting for? How far will you go? And rather than back up, don't that man in the mirror who's able to submit, ladies and gentlemen, will be one who will put their will aside and wait on God. You ask God for what you want. You don't lie, cheat, and steal, and scheme, and sow discord, and do things to get what you want. God is not pleased with that. What God wants for those of us who submit to him is to ask him and wait on him to give us if it be his will. Self-willed people will not have what they want because it's not God's will. Sometimes some things we can have if we understand the will of God, it supersedes our will. And whatever God wants, that's what we'll get. When you can humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, then you start to wait on God and stop trying to make things happen. That's what happens. So many people in jail, they're trying to make richness happening. You're stealing, you're doing, you're cheating on your taxes, you got jobs, and you're doing illegal stuff, money under the table, and you wonder why you can't get nowhere. Because that's not pleasing to God. You ask
and receive not.
James said, you ask it. But look at how you ask. The reason you don't get what you want is because you ask
amiss
improperly.
That you may consume it upon your lust.
It's because what you're asking for is your will. You're asking God to move on your desires. And what God is saying to us, James said, you ask, you ain't getting it because that's improper. It's amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. What is your motive for what you're asking for? What's driving it? And that's what we have to ask. We have to be able to look in the mirror and do self-examination. What's motivating me to do and act the way I'm acting? What's driving this situation? What's driving your relationship in your marriage? You know, why are you acting like that? What's the real motive for you? What are you doing? What's driving it? Marriages will fail because people have interests that's their own. But when two men, a man and woman of God, can look in the mirror, the first person that can improve your marriage is you.
Amen.
When you work on you and put your will aside, the relationship will be better. It happens on jobs, relationships between supervisors and employees. It works in the church, leadership relationships. If we put our personal wheels aside, the relationship gonna be better. Because we're seeking to please who? God. That works in all boyfriend, girlfriend relationship, church relationship, brother, sister, Christ relationship, husband, wife relationship. And here's the other thing I want to add. And one of the things the Bible said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers what?
Only.
Be swift to hear it, what? Slow to speak. You know, one of the things I've experienced, this is my personal experience, and you test it, try it. In counseling, when I was counseling two people, I said, here's the rules. Don't talk while the other person is talking. Do you understand that's one of the main things I have to keep saying over and over in the meeting? And that's why I know, Brother Stroud, that the Bible is right. You test this one. And I practice it because I think it's so disrespectful to be speaking when someone else is speaking. So I practice this in all my meetings. I try to sit there and not say nothing while everybody else is talking. And then when I speak, I want the same respect. But you know what I found? That in counseling and in personal experiences, the hardest thing for human beings to do is to listen.
Amen.
I said, I didn't say nothing when you was talking. I hear you, brother. And then I started to say, oh, they're going to interrupt me again. Okay, there you go. You can't even control your listening. Mm-hmm. If we listen more to God than we talk to him, amen, we can put away our self-will. It applies biblically and in life.
Amen.
Learn to be a listener. It is so rude to interrupt people when they're trying to express a thought. And then you have those people who want to help you with your thought. You know what I'm saying? It's, oh, are you saying this? Well, if you would just let me finish, then you'll know what I was trying to say. Amen. Test. I tell you what. You test it. Test that. I challenge every leader, test that one. Ask us to listen before we say anything. I challenge you in your marriages. Ask the other person to listen. And then give them the chance to express themselves without you interrupting. And when you interrupt, somebody call you on it. Say, see, told you what it's hard to do. That's why God say, be swift to, slow to. You got the Bible is right. And if we learn that, we will have better communication skills. We have a better understanding because everyone don't express themselves with articulate manners like some educated folk. Some of us just country. You say, well, I didn't get it. Well, let me say it another way. Here's the way we say it down in Hempfield. Disrespectful. It's disrespectful to God for us to tell him what we want and don't listen to what he's telling us.
Amen.
That's the point of the matter. But if you think about this, you can call me on it, test the scripture on it, but I'm going to guarantee you this. The Bible will never be wrong.
Amen.
Yeah, and if we all practice this and we look in the mirror and we look at controlling our ears to listen to God, I guarantee you our lives will get better.
Amen.
James said, you ask because you don't get what you want because your motive is wrong. What do you say? What do you mean motive? When God look at us, he looks at the mind. He looks down on the thoughts. And God is like God looking down in my mind. He looks at my thinking. I don't have to pray any, no prayer for him to know what I think. That's why when the people are seeking the truth, they're going to find the truth. You ain't got to worry about that. They're going to find the truth because God is going to make sure because he can see your thought. But do you know God doesn't respond to one who don't want to be true in their worship? In John 4:23, the hour coming and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and true worship. For the Father seeketh such. God responds to those who are seeking to be true in their worship. You here today, and you've been visiting different churches, you've been just going looking, and something seems to be wrong everywhere you go. You say, we're just looking for a church home, and it always, something comes up that kind of throws you off because you are seeking true worship. You are seeking true. You're not seeking fake. And you know, we see this today in the denomination world, men running around on the stage and looking for fame and fortune, and they seeking their own will, and you see it to be an entertainment, emotional show put on, and then you can't do that because that's not what you're seeking. What you're seeking is true worship. When you seek truth in life, when you seek truth, your truth is going to be based on the truth or the will of God. Your request is amiss because it's not according to the will of God. You know how we say, well, you know, if it be the Lord's will, if no man can stop. Folk just say stuff like that. Like, no man can stop it if it's of God. Then wait on God. If that's truly what you believe, listen to the Bible. 1 John chapter 5 and the verse number 14. Don't chase a job and a promotion if you make statements like that. You know, if it's God will, I'm going to get this or that. Or, you know, I'm just going to wait on the Lord. If God is for me, who can be against me? And then you go through all these other things trying to make happen what you wanted to happen. Listen to the Bible, 1 John 5:14. What the book say?
And this is the confidence that we have in him.
This is the confidence that, notice John said, this is the confidence that we have in who? God. Read
that. If we ask anything.
Watch how we ask. Here's the condition. If we ask anything.
According to his will. He heareth us.
That's when he listens. God is a listening God
when it's according to
His will.
That's why I say many of us are struggling spiritually because what we want is not in accordance, and what we're asking for is not in accordance to the will of God.
Yeah, Brother Brooks.
We're trying to consume it upon the desire versus on the will of God. That's a different thought. Verse number, go back to verse 4 of James chapter 4, verse 12.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
Goes against God.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of
God. Now this is a very serious verse right here. And he's not talking about physical adultery. That's not what he's spiritual. This is spiritual adultery. When we become children of God, when we obey the gospel, the church becomes the bride of one husband. Christ is the head of the church. Is the head of the church. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church. Ephesians 5, 23, 24. And gave himself it. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So in Ephesians 5, Paul showed the church to have a relationship with Jesus as a wedding, as a wife to a husband. And so he's speaking to Christians here, and James is saying to these Christians, you are married to Christ, but now you've gone back to be friends with the world. You got a boyfriend. You are now friends with the world. These are folk who done left the Lord. And brothers and sisters, friends, we cannot serve God and Satan at the same time. The best thing to do is be honest. Even if you come in here and you know you're living a life of continuous sin, you got to be honest with yourself and with God, because he already know. Like the kids say, he already know. He all up in your Kool-Aid. Some people don't like when it's that's just some, that'll help me get to the kids. Yeah. And some folk all in your Kool-Aid. Yeah, you know what that mean? They in your business. How many of you all done went back to the world before? How many of y'all done committed adultery on the Lord? Say, Lord, have mercy. Don't want to admit it, do you? Don't want to admit it. But it's men and women. It's not just men. Women, men, all of us who are children of God, who leave the Lord and go back to the world, have committed spiritual adultery. I don't know. I don't have time to do it. But in the Old Testament, God divorced Israel over adultery because she left her God. Look at James, back to the mirror. Look at James. And this is how you look at yourself. James says, now, do you think
that the scripture saith in vain?
The word of God has spoken something that's meaningless or untrue? What would our answer be? No. No, not the word of God. It would never do that. Then he said, the spirit, the little s, that dwelleth
in us,
that's the individual, that's the man in the mirror, lusted to envy. That if without God, our spirit is in trouble. Mm-hmm. See, it requires, and Brother Stroud, turn that thing, let me show you. Let me just show, because a lot of people have never seen this, especially, I don't have my marker thing here for you.
David's
going to get one for me. Yeah, somebody get one for me. Give me a mark. I'll come back and show you that.
You got one?
Okay. It need to be a pointed one. Okay. Good. Yeah, that should work. Now, let me just, and it's especially if visiting, you've never seen some member of the church. The Bible teaches us that sin separates us from God. This is something you commonly see if you come around me. This is in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, he said that the sins separate you from God.
Behold.
And said, the Lord's hand not shortened that he cannot say, neither your heaven that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God,
and your sins
have hid his face
from
you.
Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear.
Okay, so my job is to preach the gospel to this creature. Oh, this thing ain't working as well. and this creature learned that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, this creature will learn that Jesus shed his blood on the cross, and this creature then will either believe it or not. And so when I preach the gospel, this creature, he wants his sins taken away. Now, when he learned the truth, what he going to do, he going to want to be baptized, the baptism of death, burial, and a resurrection. Now, under the water, is where you're going to contact the blood by faith right there. Now, once we contact the blood by faith, then we understand that this is in the water like that. Jesus was in the grave. Now, that's the similarity. And then, so now, what something happens. Once I contact the blood, here comes the sin. Now, that's gone. Now, Romans 8:26, Brother Stroud, and now, here's something. The connection starts at baptism. Once sin's out of, we receive something. It's called the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, Bible says, repent and rebaptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. Now, you have a little spirit. That's a little S. We have a little spirit. But when we baptize, we receive the big spirit. And God, big S spirit. Now, it then is in, it bears witness with your spirit. So if you stay over here without God, then you never have the Spirit of God. So therefore, you're totally dependent on the flesh. But when you obey the gospel, once you come up out of the water, then you have the Holy Spirit, which you got under the water. You got the Holy Spirit. Now, your spirit is bearing witness with the Spirit of God. And so God then guides you. Now, how did he guide you? Through his word. This is why you hear his word. Now, that makes sense?
Yeah.
And so now watch this. Now, in Romans 8, start at verse 14, verse 12. Real quick. Now, God.
14?
Yeah.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God.
They are.
They are the sons
of
God.
See, if you never obey God, you're never going to be led by the Spirit of God. So now you can pray to God. Now, when I pray to God, I have to ask according to his will, which comes from what? His word. So when I ask God for something, I can't even ask unless I have that relationship or that tie with his spirit. Notice what he says there. For ye are led by the Spirit of God, that they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but
you
have
received the spirit of adoption.
Now, what that means is that just
Father.
Like his first son went through the death, burial, and resurrection, you as a child of God go through the third death, burial, and resurrection, but then that adopts you into the family of God.
Amen.
Read on, Brother Stroud.
The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit.
Look at that big S in there. This is for the children and for some adults as well. The big S, the Spirit, that's God, bear witness within our spirit, little
that
S. Y'all
we
see
are
that?
The
that's the only
of God.
Way we can be children of God. This is why sinners can't pray. Because sinners have not bear, their spirit have not bear witness with the Spirit of God that's who they are. Now, here's a fundamental violation of Scripture. Amos 3:3, Brother Stroud. And this applies, it applies to everything we ask. In Amos 3:3, it also applies to every relationship. Listen to the book. In Amos 3:3, he says what?
Can two walk together?
God, this is God asking Israel. Can we walk together, Israel?
Except they be agreed.
If I don't agree with God, I can't walk with God.
Amen.
This is a fundamental principle of a relationship. If the two people or the two individuals are in a disagreement, God is saying that's a violation of the principle of a relationship. You can't walk together. That's why marriage is a tool. Because they'll have no mutual relationship and mutual decision making. All relationships. This is a violation when we can't. How can we work together if we don't agree?
Amen.
God is saying, how can you ask me for something you disagree with what I said to you? Your spirit. Do you think God said that in vain? Do we really believe that God said, his word said, Amos 3:3, in vain? No, the only reason I would ask for something that's not according to God's will is because my spirit lusted. He said, now, this thing here is everybody says it's a serious thing. Because God is saying, look here, if you're not going to listen to me, you can't walk with me. In other words, brother, you got to decide in your spiritual life, are you going to follow the will of God according to his will and put your will aside. That requires a change of thinking.
Amen.
It requires a different mindset. It requires a paradigm shift beyond me. A shift above my personal desires of what I want in life. What do you mean, Brother Brooks? It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants for me.
Amen.
That's the way I have to think. It's not what we want for the church. It's what God wants for the church. It's above us. The struggle comes when we try to force it. Whatever it is. You can't force a relationship that's not there. And so it requires, watch what God said. Here's what he required. No, in verse 3 he said, but he give it.
More
God said, here's how my distribution of grace is based on something.
But wherefore, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said.
He give more grace. Wherefore he said, God said, here's
proud.
How you do it. God said, I'm going to put a resistance against pride.
But give it grace unto
but
the humble.
But I'm going to give something. And this is a good practice. When you feel like you're being stepped on, go to the flow. Like Tim tell me, be the flow man. What is he saying? Go to the lowest position you can go to. When you go to the Lord, God is saying, and God is true to his word, I'm going to send you grace to stay right where you are. Don't fight your way up. Lay there. Don't fight your way up. Lay there, and no matter what's going on. If your boss is trying to dog you out, you go to the floor. That's what I was telling my son. The son, you don't never talk back to your supervisor. Go
Amen.
To the low road.
Amen.
Don't talk to you. Go to the low road. He got your check.
Amen.
That dude going to sign off on you on Friday. It's yes, sir, no, sir. I don't care if you're wrong or right or wrong. I'm not saying go along or wrong, but you don't have to respond in a negative way. You just say, yes, sir, I understand.
Amen.
And you turn that thing over to God because God said, look here, what I'm going to do, I'm going to resist him, but I'm going to send some grace your way. And next thing you know, his boss going to come to him and say, you know, I want to promote that boy. He said, yeah, God done slipped in some grace. I'm trying to get y'all to see. I'm not talking no more from, I guess about 20 years I could have preached this and not understood it. I'm in a position now, I understand what that means. God, when you don't think it's going to work out, God slipped grace in on you.
Amen.
And you say, oh my goodness, how did that happen? How did God slip in that grace? Because God is saying, when I see pride, I pull back. But when I see humility, I come to the rescue. And I don't care what you're going through in life, my friend. I don't care what you're dealing with. When you become a spiritual man or woman, when you can see yourself in the mirror, you don't deal with folk like everybody else. You submit, you humble, you quiet down, you listen, and you wait on God.
Amen. Amen.
God is speaking to us through this word. He called them. It seemed like me. When I was studying this, like, Jane, what are you trying to? He says, folk gonna get. They gonna get, when I say, I'm gonna call you an adulterer, an adulteress, and it's gonna make you feel funny. Man, I don't wanna commit adultery on God. You know, I might sleep in with my girlfriend, but I ain't gonna, my boyfriend, but I ain't gonna do it to God. And then you slip in this spiritual aspect of adultery, and you start feeling like, wow, man, I never saw it like that. See, he said, well, it kind of might be somebody this morning feeling that way. Man, kind of down about it, you know, depressed about it, Bristol. Start thinking about your life. Man, why didn't I get that promotion? Where did I go wrong? Why didn't I get the position I was seeking? Why didn't I get the raise? Why did I get the promotion? Why God didn't name me? Could it be? Could it be I had too much pride? Could it be I didn't show any humility to God? Because he the one made the decision. You didn't get it. Because maybe you asked amiss. You thought about that? Maybe you lied in the interview. Why you didn't get your woman? You wanted to marry the girl. Maybe you were dishonest to her. You went as far as telling a whole lot of lies. And before she got ready, she started finding out you were lying all up front. Talking about you had a good job. You weren't even working. Some of y'all done married some folk like that. See, you didn't get no premarital counseling. Didn't dig into their past. I advise anyone before they marry, learn about the past of that man or woman you getting ready to marry.
Amen.
Because you don't know. Once you're into that situation, you're in it. They're going to be getting, I didn't know that. What I also experienced in premarital counseling, that people don't want you in their past too much. They want to keep the good stuff up front. See, because in my premarital, I make that clear up front. I'm not your friend. So if you came for this little review, this premarital counseling, looking for a friend, I'm not going to be the guy that's going to just tell you good. You can get all that mushy stuff. You know, you done sent the flowers. You know, you done did all sent the sweet text message. We know that's easy to do. But can you live it?
Amen.
How have you abused other women? Why you, sister, why you done divorced twice already? You mean to tell me the last two men were the problem? You didn't have no association? There are some profound questions of the past that need to be dealt with before you say I do to anyone.
Amen.
If the brother is abusive before, it's possible he's coming into the marriage. Don't mean he can't get fixed. But let's identify it.
Amen.
If she was a nagging woman before you married her, and she got on your best nerve, and you couldn't stand the nagging, guess what? You better remember that more than likely, sooner you say I do and things don't go your way, bro, she gonna start that. But I think the Bible says somewhere, Brother Stroud walking by, somewhere it's better to be on the top of a, in the corner of a
house.
In the what?
Rooftop.
It better be on the rooftop.
Woman, yeah.
Yeah, that's in the Bible. It's better. What that mean? Brother Stroud, no. You have been up, Sister, I had you up there. Yeah, he said, now you got it. The Bible is telling us a principle, though.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, now I know, but Sister Alice, she seemed to be a wonderful woman.
Amen.
Brother, what are you trying to get us? I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help families. That's what I'm trying to do. If you can be preventive in going into a marriage that's going to fail, when I applaud people who come in and have open hearts and willingness to look at self and make change to prepare myself for a few fruitful, beneficial, long life marriage with one that you truly is in love with and you will never hurt, harm, or do danger to them. I applaud people like that. I pray for folk who just jump into relationships. Or maybe you jumped into a business, and your business is plumbing going downhill now because what you did, you didn't include God in it. Or you took some actions that were not of course. You can't serve God in the world at the same time. Then when you get, if the business is doing good, you're going to say, God is really blessing me. God is not. That's an indicator of blessings when you're all stressed out over it. What you want to do is be in a job or have a business where you can be at peace with God and still prosper.
Amen.
And prosperity ain't also just totally getting rich, filthy rich. Just having some profit margin is a blessing. But you're here today in your heart of hearts, you really want to serve God, do what's right. And he said, then what God said in verse 6, but he give more grace wherefore God resisted the proud, but give grace to the humble. Here's the good news. God gives grace. God is a God of second chances. All God wants us to do is humble ourselves, resist pride, admit our wrongs, repent of our sin, and God resists that pride. He said, once you do that, I will give you grace.
Amen.
That's why it's so good to know that if I do leave the Lord, I can humble myself in the sight of the Lord, walk down here today and say, Lord, I have sinned against you, Lord. I admit that I've done wrong. And just like the prodigal son, I'm on my way back home, down on my bending knees, begging you to save this soul. That's all God wants. You think he went to his son went to the cross so we could just stay puffed up? No, his son went to the cross. He humbled himself even unto death, even the death of the cross. But he did it so we could learn that it takes humility to say, I've sinned. It takes humility to admit you're wrong. It takes humility to say, you know what, I haven't handled this situation right. You're right, Brother Brooks. You're right, sister. I have not done this right. I have been acting prideful. God is resisting me. I can see it now. I'm just going to pull back on this. I'm going to let God give me grace. And when God's time, everything going to be all right. Then he says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Look in the mirror. Is it you? Are you a man or a woman who can submit? And Sister Lou Lamar was telling about, they were a great niece, Ashley, about 3-year-old. And she said he was walking by the mirror. And, she, you know, 3-year-olds are very curious. Y'all have seen that commercial? It is a cute little commercial. It don't have nothing to do with what I'm saying now. But the little baby, that's on CNN, the little baby walking toward the door so he can see out. Y'all seen that? I'm the only one watching CNN. Thank you, bro. I thought that was cute. That baby, he walking, he trying to see what's outside of the window. There's a message there. In the case of Ashley, she was walking by, passing by the mirror, and she seen herself and starting to like. And with Ashley, what she was telling me, she went up to the mirror and she put her hand on the mirror and she saw herself, like, wow, that's me. And then she started clapping. Are you proud of what you see? When you walk up to the mirror, will you clap like Ashley? Will you say, oh, I'm pretty? What do you see? What do you see this morning? You say, Brother Brooks, I'm not going to answer. Remember, God looked at your thought. He already know. You know you're operating with some pride. What is God waiting on? The answer. You say it up here. It's me. I can't applaud what I see. When I can't applaud what I see, God will grant some grace to you. Amen. All of us need to be like her. We need all to be at a day in our life, our spiritual life, that we can look in the mirror and say, you know what, I applaud. I applaud. I'm excited about what I see. What a reflection. He says that, what he said, I want to just look at God and look in the mirror and look at God and kiss myself. I'm good because I'm doing it according to his will.
Amen.
Notice what he says now.
Submit yourself therefore to God.
Now watch what happened under submission.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
My submission, brothers, is an automatic submitting to God is an automatic resistance of the devil because they can't go together. Because that's God's will. The devil's will is that we don't submit. Okay. Y'all follow me? So, and I'll read that scripture again, but we won't miss that point. It's powerful. Notice what he says.
Submit yourself, therefore, to God.
Watch the change. Submit yourself,
therefore, to God.
To God. Watch what happens.
Resist the devil.
That submission is a resistance. It's when you submit to God, you're resisting the devil. Read.
And he will flee from you.
And the devil can't hang. The devil can't stay in that situation because you're in the will of God. Let's go on, Brother Stroud.
Draw near to God.
Now, in that submission is bringing me into a closer relationship with God. Read.
And he will draw near to you.
And God, and once you come to me, I'm going to come close to you. So God is saying submission is going to bring me into your life. Humility brings me in your life. Pride, I step back. The pride I move from. But when I see you humbling yourself, I'm coming to you. You're drawing near to me. And when you draw near to me, I'm coming to you. I'm coming. And that's why he said, I'll never leave you, nor. That's why Jesus said, come unto me. All you that labor and what? And I will give you. I'm the one who can do it. But it requires something. Notice what he says.
Cleanse your hands.
Clean up.
You sinners.
That happens in baptism. Purifying your soul happens in baptism.
You double-minded.
Peter said, for time's sake, I'll just read it. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your soul and obeying the truth. When you obey the truth, you are born of the water and of the Spirit. You're baptized for the remission of your sin that purifies your soul. Notice what he says, being afflicted
and mourn.
Mourn.
And weep.
Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning,
and your joy to heaven.
This verse is directed to those who are unconcerned about their worldliness, those who are finding joy in living like a worldly folk live. James is saying being an enemy of God should cause you to be afflicted. It should cause you to mourn. It should turn your laughter. It should turn laughter to mourning. And it should turn your joy to heaven. If you were here today and you looked in that mirror like I was talking to you about, and you're listening, not talking. If you're listening to God, and if you can be honest in your heart, then you can say, I have too much pride, or I am operating off my personal will, and I now will submit. Things will start to happen because right now what you're doing, you're an enemy of God. That should cause you to mourn. It should cause you to be afflicted. It should cause you to have a heavy heart. This is a good thing. That means your conscience is working. That means you're listening to the will of God. And many of you, as you new members who will come into the Church of Christ, you're learning things you never knew. But learn this principle. Learn the principle of humility. I'm going to tell you, many members of the Church of Christ who've been here a long time miss this principle. Learn the principle of submitting to the will of God and putting your will aside, and you'll experience blessings that you've never experienced before. Notice who's looking. James said, humble yourself in the sight
of the Lord.
Who have us under the microscope? God. And he will lift you
and
up.
And he shall lift you up.
Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of a brother
and judges
his brother. Speaketh evil of the law, judges the law. But if thou judge the law,
thou art not a doer
of the law,
but a judge.
But a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to
save
and destroy. Notice the lawgiver himself is able to save and destroy. So since there is one lawgiver, who are we to judge each other? You know, the mirror is not there for me to place judgment on the other man. The mirror is there for me to clap about me or to be sad or mourn because of what I see. The mirror is there for me to see me. That's what it does. Judge who? Me. Leave all other judgment to God. In closing, James said, go to now you that you say today or tomorrow we'll go in such a city.
And continue there.
He just warned you out, even in your general discussion. He said, hey, James, it look good. Go to now. Let me just share something. He says, now, those of you who say, I'm going to go do this tomorrow and buy and sell and get gain. He said, no, think about this now. You know not what shall be
on tomorrow.
On tomorrow. What is your life?
What is your life? It is a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that.
The whole lesson has been about submitting to God's will. That's this whole lesson been about us putting our will aside, every one of us.
But I'm now sure, you rejoice
I'm
in
sure
your
every
boasting.
One of us can say, I've been guilty of my own will. But do we have to live like that? What's the answer?
No,
we don't. We can submit to the will of God, and we can change our view based on the decision to do so. And so if you're here today, James keeps saying, read on, Brother Stroud, finish
but
that.
But now you rejoice in your boasting.
Now,
rejoicing is evil.
Don't rejoice because you planned something yourself and left God out. That's evil. Read.
Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good.
And here's the final conclusion to the whole matter. If you know what's right.
And do it not.
And you don't do it.
To him, it is sin.
That's a sin. Today, if you're here today and you say, Brother Brooks, I need to submit because I've been going through a whole lot of things. My life is in trouble. My situation on my job is not good. My financials are in trouble. This drug thing, I'm trying to kick it. This alcohol thing, I'm trying to kick it. I got some felony cases behind me. Don't look like I'm going to get a job. You say, Brother Brooks, I'm struggling with the congregation on, man. I'm struggling with things going on in the church. Look here, y'all. All of us need to understand, no matter if you're at this place or at your house, God is in control. And if we can just submit and start doing it the way God has said it, God is saying, I will bless your life. That's the simple message today. When you look in the mirror, all you want are you a man or woman who can submit to the will of God and put your will aside. If you're here today, you say, I need a better second chance. I need a better start. I need a new start. I want to regain my relationship with God. I want to come back to God. You do that by coming down to the front and asking God to forgive you. Repent of your sins right where you are. Confess your fault as members of the Church of Christ. You confess your sins. He said, I'm just to forgive you. If you're a member of the church, you don't have that relationship because your spirit is not bearing witness with the Spirit of God. The only way you can become a child of God is by hearing the gospel. And the gospel is the story of Jesus the Christ hanging on the cross of Calvary, 6 long hours, suffering with pain and shame, nails in his hands and in his feet. He did that so all of the Bible says he humbled himself. He humbled himself. So that this key principle applied to him of humility, of submission. He submitted to his Father's will. He said to him 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane, let this cup pass, not my will but yours. He said it to his Father. He asked him, do I have to go through this pain on that cross? But yet he submitted. He showed the character of a child of God, and all of us can learn that. He submitted to the pains of the nail and the pains in his feet. He submitted to 6 long hours of wrenching pain, excruciating pain through the nerves and endings or the nails and things were on the cross, going through a fixation by execution, by crucifixion, where he would die because he couldn't hardly breathe. But yet before he died, he had finished. He said, brother, what did he finish? Submitting to the will of his Father. If we're going to make heaven our home, all of us going to learn something from this lesson that did you or did you not submit to the will of the Father? And you do that by hearing how he died. You do that by believing that he died for your sins, according to the scripture. You do that by repenting of your sins right where you are. Saying, I ain't leaving like this. You do that by making this confession. We found in Acts 8:37, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. You do that this morning by bringing my body down here. We'll take that confession. We will baptize you in that water. You step in that water, believing the blood is in there. You're submitting to the will of God. And as I described earlier, your sin will be washed away. You'll receive the Holy Spirit. And then you walk and you let that spirit lead you and your will be behind and his will ahead and you'll enjoy blessings from the Lord. And then if you're here today and you want to do that, we got the clothes ready. We got everything you need. All you got to do is have a submissive will to obey God this morning. And if you're here today and you're a Christian and you have prayer, you want prayer, we want to pray with you. We don't let all your pride go. Ask for prayer for whatever you need. Confess your fault if you need to. Come to be baptized if you need to. Because God is saying to all of us, and this song would say, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Would you come as together we stand and sing?
Amen. God said his Son.
They call him.
They call
him Jesus.
He came to love, heal, and forgive.
God bless you as you come. Come on now, submit to him. Let go of your pride, submit to the will of God. Let him in your life. Let him help your situation. Let him in. Let him in. It requires you submitting. It requires that you submit. He'll come into your life. He resists the proud. Give grace to the humble. Sing with him now if you know it. What do you know? He holds your future. Somebody came for a second chance, but God is resisting you because you have too much pride to walk.
to give him your life. And your life could be better today. Just ask your person next to you, let me out, let me out. I need to go, I need to go, I need to go. I need God in my life.
A newborn baby.
Please be seated.
And feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the child can face uncertain day because.